This conference is being recorded.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm back. Now. The conference is now being recorded, so I'll just say that this is Donna Bain, representing the Board of Directors for Peaceworks Dances of Universal Peace North America, and it's Tuesday, March 31st at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I just want to welcome everybody. Thanks so much for coming. This is really a great thing to be able to get started having these conference calls and to be able to connect more with each other and share our ideas and kind of get all on the same page about certain things. And I just think it'll be a great vehicle for everyone. I wanted to remind everyone that you can press *6, and maybe you already have, but it's probably better to do it sooner rather than later, because I think, yeah, we're going to hear it.
Donna, I don't press *6, is that right?
Yeah, that would be good if you didn't press it. And then at a certain point, you know, if you want to say something or, you know, or it's time to ask questions or something like that, then you have to press *6 again to unmute your phone.
And will it make the same noise again?
Yeah, I think it will. The only chimes I think I was able to turn off are the entry and exit chimes. So we won't know when people join the call. The only other little glitch is that if people come on late, they may not realize that they shouldn't announce themselves, but we'll see. Maybe they'll hear something happening and they won't do that.
No problem.
So welcome, Shabda, and thank you so much for being willing to be our first guest. And it just feels like a real honor to be doing this and an honor to have you with us. And Shabda Khan is the peer of the Ruhaniyat, Sufi Ruhaniyat International, and he's the spiritual director for the Dances and Walks of Universal Peace. So go right ahead.
Welcome, everyone. I hope that these kinds of conferences are auspicious occasions, and certainly they're an adventure on how to use our current electronics and technology. I've been involved with it's from the sound of who was on the call, it sounds like all old timers. I'm not sure if that's true, but I met Murshid Sam in 1969, and it was actually the dances that helped draw me to him. The dances, I'd attended a summer camp with Pir Vilayat, his first summer camp in the United States, in the early summer 1969. It was actually early June. In Colorado, and of the 35 people there, 20 were Sam's disciples, Murshid Sam's disciples, and they brought the dance with them, and we did a lot of dances there, and I was very, very moved by them, and that's what drew me back to California and to be with Murshid Sam, and became his disciple shortly after. I started leading the dance. We were just talking about it the other day. I had lived in community with some of the people on the call, Abraham in particular, at Baba Ram Das's in New Hampshire. And in 1970 summer, we had in the fall 1970, we had a reunion on his father's land where we had lived. And that was the first time, I believe, the dances were brought to New York City, and led them there, and someone gave me a small photograph of those dances, and this is before the film Sunseed was published. Later you see them in Sunseed and in the movie In the Garden. But someone had given me a small photograph, and I wrote a letter to Murshid and said, "Dear Murshid, here's a picture of some dances I led." And he wrote me back, "The picture you sent made me cry. I saw it long before you sent it." So I've been actively involved in the dances from that time till now. nearly 40 years, or it is 40 years, I guess. And they've been very meaningful in my life, and they've been a wonderful vehicle for sharing this message of spiritual freedom. And maybe it's important for us to speak about where we are today and some of the adventures we're looking at, and the dances, as you know, have mushroomed around the world, being represented in 50 countries. And the challenge of networking with so many different cultures, so many countries, and then also providing an opportunity for quality training and transmission and understanding of the principles of the dance is something which I think will have to be reinvented every few years or every decade according to the situation we find ourselves in. And I think many of us are feeling that opportunity now very keenly, somehow to bring together some of the families or organizations that have worked hard to promote the dance and to... And I would like to say one thing is that when Murshid gave us these dances, he said they were for the world, that he didn't own them and we didn't own them. And so in that way, we've never felt that we have a proprietary right to them and others don't. So in the sense of us offering training, it's if people wish, they can come to us to get quality training in the dance. But we don't feel we have the right to tell someone they can't do these dances. They're not ours, like that we have copyright on, you know, on the dances of Universal Peace. So I followed that feeling, and now we're at a time where some difficult things have happened in our growth. We've had a Unity Council meeting for nearly 3 years, on envisioning the best way to bring together the Mentor Teachers Guild, which is really the heart of the training vehicle for the dances, the organization which is known as PeaceWorks, or International Network for the Dances of Universal Peace, which is the umbrella legal organization for the dances, and then the extraordinary work of the organization called Oneness Project, and who, with extreme generosity, helped so many people both train others in the dance and help many people who wish to be trained through grants and funding. And so I think most of you on the call know that there was a financial tsunami in the middle of December. Just to show you how much we are all family, Oneness Project lost most of their endowment in that financial tsunami. The Rouhaniyat was also struck by it, and their so the income stream and the savings of both organizations were severely hit. And so now we're in a period of trying to develop ourselves and redevelop our prosperity. And I want to say out loud that when this did happen, for me personally, it came as a big shock. It was almost like a death, something that was lost but within a very short time, something arose in me that was that the real abundance, the real happiness, which I felt somehow wasn't connected to that luck I had with financial prosperity, and or unluck and losing it. And so I was able to regain a sense of of real abundance and inner prosperity that I realized couldn't be taken by anybody. And so in that way, what happened is now behind me. And now I just have to go forward and do my best or do our best to rebuild the situation we're in. And so many of you know that I've written a recent letter to the Rouhaniyat inviting them to participate in supporting the Rouhaniyat in a regular way. But I think it's important that especially those of us who are involved with the dance recognize that the organizations that are dedicated solely to supporting the dance also need our support and need our help. And that we want to develop a culture where our community feels a pleasure in sharing generosity and supporting what helps, what's helping the world meet these dances of universal peace. And both, I think we want to find a way to fund the activity of the Guidance Council for the Mentor Teachers Guild. They're doing a lot of work in trying to make the training for the dances more clear, more accessible, how to bring transmission into it with a website, which will be a central hub and resource. And so it may be that as we develop in this next period, some elements of what was what is Oneness Project join forces with the MTG Guidance Council and what is PeaceWorks and create a kind of a wholesome body. And I'd like to see that body have an executive director that could get some kind of support, stipend, honorarium. I'd like to see the head of the Guidance Council have that. I'd like to see this website have a lot of strength and power and constantly build on itself as a resource for our community. And with that sense of value, then we need to work together to inspire our dance community to fund it. And our dance community is large worldwide. And when you do the math, if you get let's say there's 10,000 dancers. If you get 1,000 of those dancers to each give $12 a month, you get $144,000 a year income stream. So by a small participation by each of us, we can build up some financial resource and help the center post. So those are the comments I'd like to start with and like to open up the conversation to questions. Hello?
Yes.
I heard somebody unmute, or maybe they muted.
I believe if you'd like to answer a question, pose a question, or maybe add to what I've said, then you have to press star 6, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Star 6 to... So you can...
I know that Anjali in Hawaii asked about how to help the Sufi Rouhaniyat, and so I was wondering if Anjali, if you did get that letter. I'm not clear about whether I can forward that to you, or if Shabda wants to just give that information, and then that was Anjali's question, was about how to make a donation in that way. And then if Halima or Maliko want to give information about how to help the international body or they can say something about that.
That sounds fine. But meanwhile, I'll go get that information while we're talking right now.
Okay. And I actually have it in right into a couple papers here. If you'd rather, you know, I do that.
I would like to ask something. This is Hira Fatah.
Yes, Hira Fatah.
I guess I don't even know quite how to pose it, but what comes up for me is that there's a fear element going on with, you know, a sudden change, unexpected, and, you know, what we're seeing in our own communities. For instance, our donation basket got pilfered for the first time recently, you know. And
may you remember, made off with it, put it to good use.
Yeah, but I mean, it's sort of like, you know, there's a shift here that's a little bit scary, and so I want to ask you for guidance in dealing with the fear element.
Yeah. The way I understand fear is it's connected with ownership. And any time we feel ownership of something, then we have the potential of having a fear of losing it. And if we're able to touch the essence of our being, and this may be a broader answer than you want or not to the point, but
perfect.
If you can touch your heart, you know, your essence, as Rumi said, you know, I've been forgetful for 60 years, but not for one single second has this flowing toward me ever stopped or slowed. Then you realize the universe is in you, and you're in the universe. Those things which you've become attached to, you will still be present whether they are there or not. And so, naturally, our job is to be caretakers of this universe, of this planet, of the homes we live in, and of the precious lineage we have. So we should do our best to caretake it. But fear will arise from ownership, and caretaking will have us put care into a situation. If we can change the culture in our own heart, then people can learn from us by example that no matter what's arising, we still feel our abundant connection to the inner life. And then we should do our best from there. And I believe, and it's my experience, that if people are around you and you feel abundance, they'll get the message, yeah, hey, why don't I relax and just feel comfortable with what's arising, do my best for what I want, and meet whatever occurs with ease. And so I believe as dance leaders and as spiritual teacher, or as mystics, if we want to say it, that's our assignment. And I think, you know, how lucky, from one point of view, how lucky that we had this tsunami of a teaching so that we could speak, you know, authentically that, hey, prosperity is within.
Thank you.
I hope that'll be useful for you. It is the climate we're in, and you know, from another point of view, if we are too hungry, it's like everybody sticking their bucket under the one cow. And, you know, I need some milk, I need some milk. I think if we take the view of if everybody participates a little bit in generosity according to their means, our family is large enough that it will work. You know, I don't know that there's few people where $12 a month would be an enormous difference. I know that $12 a month would be some difference, but not an enormous difference for anybody. And even two times $12 a month, $24. If let's say people wanted to put money into INDUP or into the regional center that they're with and into the Ruhaniyat, I feel like most people could do that. It wouldn't be that difficult. Then people who have more largesse, they can give more. But still, the treasure of what we're giving out isn't based on money, or it shouldn't be a commodity. But we do want people to understand that in order to manage these worldwide movements that we're in, it takes human beings and time that could use their support. I hope that'll help, Anjali.
Yeah, thank you.
Here's the information. Don, I don't know that, I guess people would have to have pens in hand.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to give to the
sure.
to the Rouhaniyat, you wanted to use the method of giving like a certain amount every month, like $12 a month, you could contact our treasurer at his email. His name is Boudavane, and he's instructed me that in order to learn how to say it right, you can think of bowing, and then you can point to a vein and say, duh, vein. Bow to vein. But that's not how it's spelled. It's spelled Boudewijn. I'll repeat that. It's Boudewijn at comcast.net. And his telephone number is 541-465-1193. That's 541-465-1193. And that way you don't have to send delicate information over the email lines. I'd feel very inspired if you felt there was value in doing that. But again, since we're here on these talking about the dances and the dances of universal peace worldwide, I do want you to be cognizant that I'm equally keen for all of us to show generosity to that which I hope will support the dance on into the future. We need money to create this website. I'd like to see some funding go for, this is my personal wishes, for an honorarium for our the head of our guidance council, who has to spend a lot of time in their life, and so that they have the time to do that, and to have an executive director in the long run.
Shadda.
So I would say both.
This is Donna. Can I give the information about how to make a donation for PeaceWorks Incorporated?
You can, and I think there's a variety of ways. So go right ahead, and then other people may
okay.
show us more variety.
Okay. At the bottom of the homepage, which is www.dancesofuniversalpeace.org, so that's www.dancesofuniversalpeace.org, there's a PayPal link. And Darvesha mentioned that for right now, that's if someone wants to make, you know, a one-time lump sum donation, or if they want to schedule themselves to go back every month to make a donation, they could do that. But they're going to be looking into the idea of being able to do an automatic debit each month of a small donation for those of us who would like to do that. They can also mail a donation to the Seattle office, which is PeaceWorks Incorporated, P.O. Box 55994, PeaceWorks Incorporated, P.O. Box 55994, Seattle, Washington, 98155-0994. So the zip code is 98155-0994.
And will there be a sharing of those donations similar to the way membership in PeaceWorks is shared between the region and international, or is it strictly one or the other?
I believe that's a question that isn't in my...
Somebody's going to have to jump in. That was Aeolia.
Yeah, I recognize Aeolia's voice, and I think that there will be some, you know, at the moment it's set up for a region to share with international, And hopefully in the future we can find really the most wholesome way to do this. So, but I believe there is a sharing. And is did someone just come in who's going to explain that?
This is Sky Manjita, and I would say that at this time, dues, when you join PeaceWorks, you join through your region, and part of your regional dues is shared with international. But donations that are made either to a region or to international are not shared. So if somebody makes a donation to North America, none of that money goes to international. And if somebody makes a donation to international, none of that money goes to the regions. And that is, as Shabda says, that's something that's being looked at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to have that kind of clarity. Good.
So this is Halima speaking, and I just want to say that at the moment, I would say most of the dues are sent to the regions, and a fairly small proportion of that goes to international. So right now, international is really looking for, and international was probably more hardly hit by the Madoff event as it affected the Phoenix project. So we're really looking to fund. We have all these projects in the works that have, you know, been generated through Unity Council and through the Guidance Council. That we're really they're like they in their baby form, and they really need nurturing and support to take form and to manifest right now. So we're really hoping that people will extend their generosity to the international network, as well as, you know, locally and to the Rahman.
That who's ever speaking there was difficult to hear.
That was me, Halima, sorry. Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay. So we're hoping that, you know, people will be generous to the international network, which is funding a website, a new website, and the work of the Guidance Council for the MTG, and we hope to have come out with a plan for the international organization that has an executive director, so that there's more grounding in how it's working. That would require funding. So, as a representative of that body, I invite your generosity and hope that we all work together in a way that flourishes.
I'd like to say, too, that, you know, it feels like this call is a lot of people who really care and maybe who have spheres of influence. And so, as most of you know, every few weeks I'm traveling to a new place and I'm sitting with, you know, 50, 60, 70 people. And so at that moment, I get the opportunity to share how I feel, and I believe that makes a difference. And so in your own sphere of influence, if you can help people overcome this climate of fearlessness, of fear and lack, and oh my God, and what am I going to do? I don't have enough, to a culture of compassion and generosity and tolerance. You'll have
and sorry, this is Anjali. I'd like to say sustainability.
Sustainability.
It's all about, you know, yes. We want to have a sustainable system going, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And this is on our little dance circle here in Hawaii. We hit abundance. All of a sudden, we've got lots of people coming and people giving more than they've ever given before. So I just want to throw that out, that that's also out there. It's taken us about a year and a half to really evolve to this point. But, you know, we're sustainable now. And I think that's something we're looking towards in the future.
I like it. That sounds great.
Hi, this is Farinisa.
Hi, Farinisa.
Hi, greetings and love to all my beloveds out there. It's lovely to hear all of your voices. I have a question about the budget for the changes that you're asking for. How much will it take to get the website up? What is the startup for creating an executive director? And then what's the ongoing for per year? And then what support is the MTG Mentor Council asking for or needing? And is that a one-time thing? Is that an ongoing thing? I was not here at the beginning of the call, so forgive me if you've already shared that information.
Yeah, you're forgiven, and we didn't. We did not talk about it, and they're very good questions. And it's because so much is in formation right now. You know, there's not a group that drew up a budget, because who the group is several different groups at once. But I do feel that the website is now, and I believe Munir can speak to that. I believe he's gotten some funding, and from the point of view of sustainability too, it will need ongoing funding, as Anjali suggested. And then there's also been a very small stipend, I believe, for our sister Darvesha, who's on her way to South America tomorrow. And we could know what that is, and we could also know that maybe we'd like to increase that to something that's slightly more wholesome, you know, according to what we can bear, to give us a sense of how much we should raise. And the executive director post is something that is a hope, my hope for the future. And we haven't really, maybe Munir can speak to it since he has experience as being an executive director, but we haven't made a budget yet. That's something in the future that we have to create abundance for. So Munir, I believe it might be useful to have you to chime in here.
Sure, I'd be glad to. We have a website budget and team together that's beginning work now. One, this project committed $3,000 to this year, and the PeaceWorks Board joined with us to commit up to $5,000 to create a new website for NDUP that would be much more technically up-to-date, would have a lot more pictures. It would be a site of sites where anyone in the world could come and find links to regions or to activity in the dances. All the MTG resources would be there, and we'll try to have at least a certain amount of multilingual resources, Spanish, German, and Russian, and dance leader resources. So it's a big project. It's probably going to take most of this year. It will certainly be well into the fall before we'd be putting it out there. So that's happening. That's one thing that PeaceWorks and Oneness Project agreed. We really need to get this done, and it's something that we could focus on together this year.
And Munir, what's the lack to that's stopping that from going forward? Is there an immediate funding need to support that activity?
Well, of course, by supporting either PeaceWorks or Oneness Project, you're helping support that particular project, which we think is going to cost about $7,000 to $8,000.
Excuse me, Munir. Somebody is breathing with their nose into their headpiece. So just be mindful. If you could move your little mouthpiece down from your nose, whoever that might be.
Farinisa, to answer your question, there's really nothing preventing us from going forward financially, other than in Oneness Project's case, we're spending from our principal this year. All of our investment income is gone. We're working on trying to recoup and unwind the investments we have remaining so they can be reinvested But that is going to be taking through this year. Oneness Project is in a very uncertain situation right now, just in terms of our being able to commit funds or even morph into another entity. Hopefully by the end of the year we'll be in a better position to kind of see the way forward. But what I wanted to comment on was your other question about the scope of an organization now to serve the international picture. What kind of programs would it have? What kind of budget would it have? This is what the Unity Council has been wrestling with for 2 years now, and we were just reaching some conclusions last fall when this tsunami hit, and it's really thrown us for a loop, as it's thrown the boards of Oneness Project and PeaceWorks and UGG, all of us, in terms of, okay, well, now given this enormous change that's happened, and just in Oneness Project's case, we've put $900,000 out there into the dance network over the last 8 years. That's not going to be there anymore. So just that change alone is huge. Given that, then, you know, what programs are essential? What kinds of things do we really want to see? What, you know, is feasible in terms of international fundraising to support a program? All of these things are, we've kind of had to go back to square one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a little time. It's going to take a little time to sift all that out. But I feel that putting this website in place, the process of doing it, building it, of calling on people out in the regions to help us with translations and provide photographs and links, all of that is going to be an interesting process. And I think by the end of that, we're going to have a better idea of what is needed in terms of ongoing maintenance of the site and of the international picture and the MTG. So there are a lot of questions that need to be resolved, especially, you know, just for example, what Sky mentioned, the regions collect memberships, a portion of that's passed on to international, create some technical and administrative hassles. Things could be restructured using an efficient website to collect money and gather together the dance leaders around the world in one kind of entity. So all that has to be sorted out this year and is linked to the website issues, so it will have to be figured out. Anyway, that gives a little bit of a picture. Farenice, does that kind of come out?
The reason I was asking is because, as we've seen with things like the Youth Council and the fundraising that we've done in the Rouhaniyat, a lot of times people can catch fire around a particular project.
Yes.
And experience a sense of ownership and pride because they know they're contributing to a specific outcome that's going to help them and their own dance community and the worldwide dance community. So, you know, in terms of how to connect with my local community and the generosity of my local community, you know, that would be one way to do it, is to have a little donation basket separate with a little, you know, folded sign about this is the project that's going to do XYZ, and it's already underway, and your dollars will help this happen faster and will sustain it in the long, you know, something like that, that people can take, get a personal connection with.
Well, that's a great idea, and obviously we're going to need to get a lot more sophisticated about our fundraising in the long run. Right now, we're faced with a situation where staffing, at least in Oneness Project's case, is well way cut back, you know, from what we've had to work with.
Yep.
And, you know, we're doing what we can online, and I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think people worldwide could really get into building a website. The people who are maybe more connected with the technology might respond to an email solicitation for that kind of thing. I don't know. Because we're sorting out these things right now,
yeah.
Oneness Project's done some modest fundraising. We've had some heart gifts from around the world, but we don't want to get in the way of PeaceWorks being able to continue its fundraising as well as the Rouhaniyat.
And just for myself,
yeah.
to put in place being able to make an automated monthly donation is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I'm
yeah.
there. I don't remember. It's not useful for
yeah.
me to try to remember to go donate someplace every month. But if it's automatic, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep,
well,
great, cool.
We'll try to make it happen.
Thank you.
So, my friends, what else would you like to address? I'm very open to having some questions.
This is Donna in Alexandria. I know that if TJ is on the call from Charlottesville, he just had a question about doing something to start a guitar listserv. So if he's on the call, if you're on the call, TJ, could you speak up, press star 6 to unmute? And if not, we can do that. We can address that separately.
I want to ask, this is Hira Fatah again. When we're talking about expenses for a website, I don't know anything about this, so is it the expenses of the tech people to do things, or are there actual other expenses involved?
Oh, there's everything is involved. First of all, you have to pay a monthly server fee, but mostly the most expensive is both technical and design support,
which
in the industry is very expensive. People spend a lot of money to get a really good website. And even if we had volunteer help, we would need to have volunteer help that had the capacity and the clarity and the skill sets that are needed. And so
I'm wondering if it's quite
expensive to build a quality website that has a lot of functionality, and I think this one will have to have a lot to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if in our network there are the people who have those skills.
I believe if we have whoever it is that we could identify has already been identified and probably already worked hard for us.
Hira Fatah, if I can jump in here, this is Munir.
Yeah,
we've got a project team that has a technical designer. It's the same guy who has done the North America website. We have an artistic director. We have some people who've worked on that site and other sites. And this is a paid group for the most part, but we're going to be drawing in others in the dance network all around the world as we work on this thing to help us pull it together. But we're kind of managing it the way Oneness Project has done things in the past, is assemble a team, have some clear goals, and move forward. We'll definitely have volunteer involvement, but the paid people are there to make sure that it gets done and that we involve volunteers in the most efficient way. And more than half of the budget is for, as Shabda said, technical, the programming that's necessary to link the website to the database and, execute the goals of the functionality and the artistic design of it. So, it's really hard to do that sort of thing with volunteers.
By starting with kind of a few expertise people with an overview, you avoid a patchwork effect of how it comes out in the end, and then you plug in people where they can be plugged in later. Volunteers.
Exactly. I mean, we're basically funding the the essential roles that you just don't want to get bogged down in.
So when you're ready for people to spiff up little corners, you know, will that go out as an announcement? Because, I mean, I know
absolutely.
At least two people who probably would, you know, jump at the opportunity to help and have expertise. So
absolutely. You'll be hearing from us, but it'll probably be several months out.
Okay.
I'm estimating.
Yeah. Okay.
So you said you know two people who could work on websites. Is that what you were saying?
Well, I know one of them for sure. That's what he does. And, you know, it seems like people right now are actually running out of work. And so, you know, because the economy is slowing down, there's this disadvantage, but there also is this advantage that they're not booked as much as they were.
Well, because Shafi has been working on the Rouhaniyat website for a while, and he certainly could use some help if people want to volunteer. And if you want to connect with your friends.
Do you want to give me some contact information for them?
If you simply contact them and ask them if they're interested, then they can just send me an email, and I'll connect them up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to do that.
And that's for the Rouhaniyat website?
The Rouhaniyat website.
Yeah.
He's writing in a language called Joomla, you know, if you want to write that down, Joomla. So it'd be good if they were skillful in Joomla. But he needs help, yeah.
Okay.
Shabda and Munir, I'd like to talk to you offline about a way to proceed on this web development project that might be useful at some point.
Yeah, I think for the dance is just, I feel complete trust in Munir. You just speak to him directly, and then if you need my counsel, I'll be glad to be involved.
That sounds good.
Oh, thanks, Shabda.
What about everybody on the call? Don't you feel confident
in Munir?
Oh, we feel so much confidence in you.
You get our vote, Munir.
Well, and I'm so glad, Munir, to hear you speak of, you know, the fact that North America did just recently, not too long ago, launch a new website, and hopefully there's some overlap, some sharing of the North American's experience for the board and that long process from inception to launch. It sounds like there is, and I think that's wonderful.
It's going to make a big difference. A lot of the programming can be transferred right over. We'll be able to do it a lot more cheaply because of the work that was done there.
Good to know.
And this is Donna. I just will interject in case there's someone on the call who's not aware of the North American web address. It's www.peaceworksdancesna.org. peaceworksdancesna.org. It's beautiful.
So we've spent a lot of time now on abundance, on fundraising. Are there any other areas that this August group would like discussed?
This is Lucinda, and speaking of abundance in a different sense, our secretary at the North American region was announcing to us that many new circles have started in the last month or two, including in my own area. We've started a satellite circle about an hour away from Jackson, Wyoming in Driggs, Idaho, and it's been very well attended for the last 3 or 4 months, and I'm really excited about having how much new dancers, brand new dancers, love the dances. And one thing that impressed me was when they came up afterwards and said thank you, they said they loved the silence after the dance.
Very nice.
It highlights that maybe part of the flip side of the coin here, what everyone to some degree is going through in our country because of the economics of the times. There's a greater need that the dances can fill, and the silence and the devotion and the time set aside for feeding that nurturing that part of ourselves.
And
like
for
that.
Myself, again, this is Lucinda, as president of the North American Board, I'm thinking of ways that we can spend zero money and yet use our resources to promote expanding new, growing new circles of dances. So that's something we can do by networking rather than by spending money. And I think it's we can take these examples and make that happen in many different places.
Yeah, I think Lucinda, that one thing that's clear is the dances will can continue to grow and morph and develop throughout the world. And still, no matter what, if we want to create a vibrant and vibrant core for teaching the dances that meets the signs of the times and the you know, and keeps evolving, and we want to have a management system for networking, those things will continue to take money. And so this need for funding will be constant, you know. I think it will be the skillfulness on part of the people who are leading dance to have confidence in the MTG and in whatever organization it is that we form or we have now, that it really is serving the dances. And that'll be a constant work. I don't believe that will ever go away, you know, that sense of developing confidence in the culture of the dances that we have.
And I believe that Shabda is going to have to leave in a little bit, and so I just wanted to remind everyone that after he's gone, we'll have some time to talk about specifically North American region things that we wanted to talk about, and you may have things to bring up that are of that nature then. And I know one of the things we were going to talk about is helping projects to help dance organizers and dance leaders with their circles, promoting their circles, getting going with their circles. So I just wanted to mention that because that way we won't necessarily take up time right now with something like that. If we can do a little bit, if anybody has anything they want to say to Shabda or to ask,
this
now
is the time.
Hi, am I on? This
yes.
Is Hira. Okay.
Yes,
Hi. We've had a practice in Seattle for a few years now. It was requested by the community where we do a once-a-month meeting where there's a healing focus and a specific dance where we actually change movements, become simpler, and names are put in the center. And it's quite a wonderful thing. But since this has happened and when I've been leading, I've also been thinking of, you know, the healing for this process too. And I'd like to share that the first dance that came up for me was the Tashi Delic, Rejoice in Happy Times Together and Together Bear Adversity, and to actually speak of it in the meeting, that this is one of the joys we have, that we can bear adversities together. And to use dances like this, or the Om Tare, to, you know, the dispeller of fear, the bestower of beneficence, this is the transition we need. But to actually, you know, be bringing up what we're healing for the network as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Are there, Shabda, are there any wazifas you would recommend?
99 of them.
I'm
looking
homeopathic here.
yeah, I understand. I would say breathe in abundance and breathe out abundance, Yah abundance. God is abundance. You know, not, I don't mean doing practice to get money in your hand. I'm saying
Allah Ya Karim.
Yeah, well, Ya Karim is beneficence. That'd be wonderful. But I'm not afraid of you using an English word and to try to connect with the essence of your being, which is abundance. And then each of us, since we're in these roles of leadership and guidance, we have to find our own healing. And then once those areas are healed, then we can genuinely go to an area and say, go to a group and say, be fearless. I'm the example. Be feel abundant. You know, the example is here in front of you. Ya Karim is a great wazifa. Why don't we all say Ya Karim? That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ya Karim.
Well, my dear beloved friends, I want you to either come up with a question, otherwise I will leave you to continue on with the call. It's many of you know Iqbal, Jonathan Lewis. It's his 65th birthday, and so I'm on my way to celebrate with he and Davey and his family. Anything? Any last questions?
Thank you so much.
Thank
Good
you very much.
I love you all, and these dancers are so precious, and I feel such gratitude to every person who's come before us in this moment, who's treasured the dance and made this, you know, these organizations and teaching streams possible. And here we are at this junction, and let's make them even better more useful and make ourselves more useful. And I send you all my love. Thank you.
Thank
lots
you.
Of
Thank
love.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shonda.
Okay, carry on.
So we wanted to, the North American Board wanted to talk a little bit about some volunteer needs that we have and some projects that we're working with. And before I turn this over to Jen Friedman to talk about two specific projects, I wanted to mention that that for next year we will need some more help with the journal, and also I want to apologize for the fact that you haven't gotten the journal yet. We've had a little challenge with the layout editor having personal things going on, and just being very slow to be able to get things together. But my husband, who's the journal editor, Bari Ramsey, you know, feels confident that, you know, it will soon be to the printer. But we do need some help for next year, and so we're starting to already think about that. And so I believe all of you have my email address from the fact that I've been sending you all these emails about this conference call. And I'm the coordinator for the journal, so you can email me if you're interested in helping with editing articles or layout for next year, or if you, you know, just want to keep your ears and eyes open for good articles, poems, photos, artwork, et cetera, for next year's journal. Just be thinking about that at every dance circle, every retreat, every camp, et cetera. Be thinking of the journal so that we can have things from the whole region, from the whole year. And that's all I wanted to say about that, and I'd like to turn it over to Jen Friedman.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
I want to say a big thank you to Donna, first off.
Thank you.
For helping to put together this call. She's just done a fabulous job. And so I just wanted to say that first.
Well, thanks for saying that. And everybody's been very helpful. And it's really been an honor to do this. So I'm happy to do it.
Thanks, Donna.
Yeah.
So one of the goals for this year for the North American Board has been figure out ways to provide better support to dance leaders and dance organizers. And one of the ideas that we came up with was a dance leader toolkit, which would be on the website, but would also be in physical form. And we're pretty open. We don't have, you know, we have some ideas as to what would be in that toolkit, but what we're looking for are some folks, volunteers who would like to serve on a committee to come up with those ideas and flesh them out and put together the documents that might be on there. And so my first question is to request if anybody would be interested in serving on that committee. who is present here on the call.
And Cassandra, and I would be willing to help in some way.
Okay.
One thing we've done in our area is we have some, well, I think would be useful in a toolkit are some templates for some flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be useful.
And also what I'd like to say is that this will be the focus of our next conference call.
Right.
Which will be
okay.
In June. Yeah, so what we're hoping also is that for those of you who might have an interest in being on the committee, if you could also be present for the June call, that would be really helpful.
It's going to be on Monday, June 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
There you've got it, way out there.
Yes.
And I think that we need to this is Lucinda, we need to clarify that this wouldn't overlap with anything, any materials MTG would be producing, but it would be more publicity, things that the circle needs to get started, useful ideas from that have been successful in other circles, things like that.
Thank you. So more of like a dance organization, dance promotion kind of focus. If anyone would like to email Donna, or you can email myself if you would like to think about that.
This is Ira. I want to just say that what I'm hearing is similar to how camps have spiritual directors and camp managers. This is the camp manager piece. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our original intention, but I guess I just wanted to say that we're, we don't have the majority of the ideas fleshed out yet,
mm-hmm.
although we don't want to overlap with, like Lucinda said, some of the
mm-hmm.
work of the MTG.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a real important thing to be doing because a lot of people, you know, they're focused on this, their spiritual director hat, but they don't manage the other part,
mm-hmm.
and that's why the meeting doesn't take off, you
right.
know, because it lacks the magnetism of getting people there in the
right,
room.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's hard, maybe hard to become sustainable
yep.
over the long term.
Yeah.
So we can solicit stories of success from other circles and then pass them on to the group as a whole, the region as a whole.
And this is Donna. We also had, I mentioned this to the board before, that we had come up with a pretty comprehensive list of ways to promote a circle, communities to promote a circle in, ways to be inclusive at the regional meeting in July of 2007. And so that's something that we can disseminate as a jumping off point if people are interested in getting those notes.
This is Farinisa. I want to throw out a bit of a radical concept around this.
Louder, please.
Yes, this is Farinisa. I want to throw out a bit of a radical concept on this based on my experience in corporate America and training, which is, this is what you're talking about, training. That what's happening in the industry now, I'm in information technology, is that companies are providing a service of periodic webinars. So there may be a webinar on how to start a dance circle.
Right.
There may be a webinar on how to find publicity channels in your community.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a webinar on how to deal with difficult situations that might come up in a dance circle, and these topics could be like scheduled out in advance. People could call into a central number. People could be recruited to speak from experience. Maybe there could be a panel, and then they could be recorded and made available on the website.
Okay.
So rather than a lot of static information that may or may not meet individual people's needs, people would have a sort of a live snapshot of some ideas with some contact names. So, you know, in addition to the recorded material, maybe there could be a list of websites of individual circles who have already got some publicity out there so people can sort of go and see what's available rather than having someone needing to go out and pull it all together. It could just, whatever's posted could be out there, and then that could be added to as people do their own website or publicity or email even. It just seems to me that there's a way of working of creating some sort of static, fixed forms that if we keep doing that, we're going to get behind the eight ball pretty quickly. And if we can take advantage of the new technology that's available, I mean, how beautiful is this call?
Yeah.
You know, where we all are here, we're hearing each other's voice, we can ask questions, it's live, you know, rather than something that's sort of, oh, somebody sent me a link and maybe I'll go out and look at it sometime.
Right.
So maybe it's not instead of, but maybe it's in addition to something like this is looked at. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you, Farenisa, for giving a voice to what we've just doing. What we're doing today and on June 8th and and quarterly, we are having these calls for the purpose of bringing together dance leaders from North American region to discuss the things that are of most interest to them. So our next call will be on this topic we're discussing now of how to promote your dance circle.
What was the time for that too? June 8th, what?
8 p.m. Eastern time.
And well, I guess what I'm suggesting would be to take that a step further and say,
right,
so-and-so from, you know, Halima from Boston and so-and-so from someplace else will be a panel to share how to start a dance circle and how they've successfully done it in their communities. And there'll be time for questions, answers, you know, so that they're will be, you know, for somebody who knows nothing and knows that they don't have anything to contribute, they will see that as being a resource, a learning opportunity, rather than like a networking opportunity.
Farenisa,
yes.
That in a slightly less technologically proficient way, that's what we were talking about for the next teleconference, but is there, because we were talking about having a panel.
Oh, beautiful.
So
there.
It's just not as sophisticated as doing a webinar, but do you know if there are free services to arrange webinars?
Well, the webinars that are done with PowerPoint slides and all of that kind of stuff, that might be a bit of overkill for what this is. So, you know, I think the format that you have here would be perfect.
Oh, okay. Well, we're on the right track then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, this is so exciting.
And it was our purpose in this last 10 minutes here to see if we could find more input from the community that's on telephone today to make that event more successful. So perhaps once we make our notes as we're planning this event, maybe we could send them to you, Farenisa, to just go over and you could make suggestions for us before we formulate the details for our next phone call.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
So, Jen, how did you want to – did you want to have people email you about the helping with the next conference call on the dance organizer outreach?
That's what I was originally thinking, but then I thought that they also seems like they have your email address now.
Right, that's true. And they can definitely email me, and I can forward it,
right.
You know, share it.
So I think that would be the way to go if you feel comfortable with that.
Sure.
Okay.
So one thing I might suggest in preparation for that and other topics like that is one thing we just started at work recently is ask people to send in questions ahead of time.
That's what we did.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
The problem is that I've been extremely busy, and I had intended to get the notice out to everyone a week sooner than I did. And so maybe it's possible that you didn't notice that was in the email that I sent, and maybe I should have sent a separate email about questions, but in the email I sent about the teleconference, there was an invitation to send questions ahead of time, and so we got two questions sent ahead of time, which you know, we were asking during the call.
Yeah, Donna, I did see it. I didn't respond. You know, my brain doesn't work. It's like I can put that off because it's not yet. My questions didn't come up until we were on the phone together.
Sure.
And this is part of the beauty of being, you know, in real time.
Yeah.
That's when my brain is going to be more active. So you will get those people who are planners, but you will get those of us who, you know, get inspired because there's people to be with right now.
That's right.
Mm.
Definitely. And I was thinking more along the lines of that topic for June. People may already have burning questions. They're trying to do it and think specific questions are coming up. I think for this time it was a little bit more general. So
yeah.
Like someone just said, you know, I didn't even know what I was going to ask until I heard what the discussion was.
Yeah, sounds good.
This is Vakil, and I have a couple things to put in. I'm not sure if I'll be on that next call at this point, so I will email you these ideas, but one of them has to do with publications, and that is that the Heartbeat has gone to electronic format instead of a print format, which makes it a lot less expensive and quicker and easier to get out. I'm wondering if also the North American Journal might be considering that as both a cost savings and a really quick way to get things around.
I know that's something we have talked about, either doing in addition to or perhaps eventually in place of, but I think right now I don't think I'm getting a feeling that people want to do it in place of right now. And we do have a number of people, it seems to me, that that don't have email access or internet access that's reliable, and or you know, they're just in a place where they're very rural and they don't have access. And I always think it's interesting that the dance communities seem to have a mixture of people who are extremely technologically proficient, and then a number of people who are just not really comfortable with technology and really want to be very down to basics. And it's just interesting. So
I think the way that the Heartbeat is responding to that is that you can get a printed edition, but it costs.
Cool.
So then it reflects the real cost of putting something on paper and mailing it instead of kind of defraying that cost by spreading it to everybody, even though most people can handle it electronically.
Yeah.
And the other thing, just to build on what Vakil is saying, is these days you can go to your library and get online, and it's dependable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5 years ago, this was a very valid argument for why to not have electronic media, but that argument really is very, very sketchy these days.
Yeah, I think there's just some resistance, but we definitely need to be considering that.
Yeah, this is Sky Manjita, and my only comment on that is that Heartbeat and the NA Journal and stuff, those are things I like to read, like in the evening, curled up on the couch.
That's what I was going
to say,
too.
Which is hard to do with my computer.
Not with my computer, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Again, like Vakil says, for those who want that, then they can have that available at for an additional cost that reflects how much it costs to actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like being able to do both. That's a very good idea.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, there's a kind of a revolution going on in the post office right now. The volume of mail has gotten so small that lots of people are getting offered retirement. Post offices are closing, and that whole industry, if you will, that's 150 or 200 years old, is contracting. So, you know, the times are kind of directing us to go this other way, but not to the exclusion of it. But for example, one of the things I've really benefited from the journal and actually all the dance publications is when somebody puts sheet music of a dance in print and circulates it all over the world or all over the continent.
Yes, ditto
for example, you know, Munir and I have collaborated on a couple where I basically described what I learned in a dance, and then he has the technology to, you know, create the score for it and print it out and email it, and then it goes global just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main support things that I look for these different print publications to provide. For example, I may have been in a circle somewhere at a camp, played an instrument, not actually done the dance, and then afterwards I'm either scurrying to write down the notes, or better yet, I would receive it in print form later on and could just, you know, transmit it to my dance circle from that.
Sky,
and that could be going on all the time.
Maybe you could talk about the dance collecting project.
Okay. Before you do that, hi, this is Malika. And I wanted to say a word in favor of this transition period, The Sound, which is a Sufi newsletter for the West, enjoying something like 30-some years in production, just went electronic last month, and it was beautiful. Beautiful edition. And there was the choice for everybody who is a subscriber to indicate whether they would instead wish to have a hard copy. And so, you know, I think it's a way to reduce cost tremendously as well.
And who has access, Malika, to the electronic version of it? Only subscribers?
That would be true, because how would they know who to send it to, whom to send it to?
Electronically? It's not up on the web somewhere, or someone can just look at it?
You know, I'm a little uncertain as I speak. I don't know. Maybe it was, no? I don't know. I'd have to check that out. I wasn't paying that close attention. I know I'm a subscriber.
And this is Lucinda. I'd be curious to know from the editors or the what percentage of people did respond to have it electronically. That might give us an idea.
Mm-hmm. I can get that information for you easily.
I'll email you.
Okay.
The thing nobody's mentioned is it's ecological, too.
Yes.
So very wonderful. I mean, that the post office not only means less, what's happening with it, less paper, but so much less fuel being used to move that paper around.
Mm-hmm.
So
the dance collecting project was mentioned.
Is that okay, Sky?
This is Sky Majita, and that project is going well. What's happening is that North America, the board, has started a project to collect unpublished dances from North America, and eventually they will be posted on the NA website. So what I'm doing with Aeolia's assistance right now is contacting originators to ask for write-ups of their dances. And if they don't have them, we're having them work with either Stuart McKinnon or with Mansoor Kahnweiser to get the dances notated. And when there's a final version that the originator has said, yes, this is it, this is perfect, then we're adding a banner at the bottom that says originator-approved version collected by PWDUPNA with the date. And so that way, when these get posted on the website, people will be able to tell, oh, this is the final version, not this email version that I got from somebody 2 years ago, because it will have the banner on the bottom. Right now, I have just over 30 dances ready to go. The only glitch is the programming of it because of the availability of our web person, or the unavailability of our web person at the moment. But I would also encourage anybody out there who is either a dance originator or knows dance originators to have them contact me about getting their dances up, because I know there are a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a collection effort also. This is not going through any MTG scrutiny or anything. It is simply collecting them and making them available to people.
That is so wonderful. Thank you so much, Yasha Kaur. That's just amazing. And one thing I might suggest that you encourage the dance originators to do is to make a video of them leading the dance.
That's the other part.
That's the next stage. We thought that trying to do paper write-ups, audio and video, all at once was overwhelming. So we're just starting with the write-ups. And once we've got that started and on the web, then I'm going to move on to asking for audio or video from the originators.
And we're starting to work on a system that we have a video camera that we can mail out that can just go in an envelope. They can take the video, and then we can edit it back here. for people that are out in the country and don't have those services.
Wow. Yafata.
That's great.
Thank you, Sky.
You're welcome.
Does Lucinda, do you or anyone else on the board want to mention any other projects, things that we're doing?
I think we've covered things. The journal, the dance collecting, our website is completed, but we're still expanding it. Our desire to stay linked up with MTG and Oneness Project and to make sure that we're sharing our resources, both financially and any kind of ideas that we have and skills that we have, and to make sure that we're a community that's linked up with every other dance community.
Mm-hmm. So then maybe we can just see if there's anyone who's been listening and maybe somebody who hasn't spoken, or it can be somebody who's spoken, wants to add anything, ask us any questions, have a good idea.
Well, this is Vakil again, and I have the idea of using Facebook more effectively.
Yeah.
For example, a nonprofit group that I'm working with here is about to create its own Facebook page in order to give people a chance to post it on their own pages and get more visibility for the nonprofit. It's a very simple thing to create, and you don't even have to have a website, although it helps. But if all you have is that one page in Facebook, then people can just add it to their own page and give the group a lot of visibility. So I'm suggesting creating like a Friends of the Dances of your community with the PeaceWorks logo, and then as people add it to their page, suddenly it'll be this flowering that is free publicity, and it doesn't require any ads, any reminder emails. It's just there all the time for people to discover.
That's right. Great.
Beautiful. Sign me up.
Well, you have to create one in your own community.
Right.
I mean, Many of us already have Dances of Universal Peace on our Facebook page, but I'm talking about, you know, bringing
it to be
it right
a cause. I think that's, isn't that what they call it, to create ourselves as a cause? And that would be a great thing for International to do because, you know, they really want to raise funds and raise their visibility, so they as well could maybe do something like that. I don't know if... Halima or Malika are still on the call.
Malika is?
Yeah, so maybe that would be something. I don't know if you're familiar with Facebook, but it just, I just recently got on it, and it just, things spread like wildfire, so.
Yeah, I've heard. I don't really know too much about it, actually. I haven't, gotten into it, so to speak, but just hear, you know, this and that. I'd have to talk with you more about exactly what you're meaning.
Yeah.
Well, I would suggest that this is a place where a template would be really handy because there's dozens, hundreds maybe, of individual groups. Half of them could say, we don't have a tech person in our group. And then you could say, here's the template. Just plug in the name of your group, put in your meeting time and information, and post it.
I will just add that the Seattle Planning Circle has been talking Facebook for the last two meetings. I am not a tech person, but it's obviously bubbling.
Cool.
Yeah, there is a group on Facebook that is Dances of Universal Peace,
mm-hmm.
but it's not organized in any way, and I don't think it does anything.
It's just like an organizational member of Facebook, I think.
Right.
Not a cause.
Right.
Right. And I
think it was started in England or someplace, and. Yeah, it's just kind of a, you know, hello from over here kind of a site.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get emails from a couple of the causes that I put on my page mm-hmm. where they're just easily able to send out an email saying, for instance, we're organizing on Saturday to march on Washington about this particular cause, and or something less obvious than that, something about, you know, needing donations to do a particular thing. So it's very easy to send out those types of messages.
Vakil, do you know how to do this? Is there any way that we could recruit you to maybe create this template?
After I get approval, I hope tomorrow from my nonprofit group to create such a page, and I'll have that experience. If it works, I'll, you know, email it to Donna and let her circulate it. How's that?
Wow, that would be wonderful.
That would be great.
Thank you.
But, I mean, many of us have already created our own page, and it's the same thing. You basically just put up under info how to contact, what your, you know, mission statement or purpose is, and if you have a website. And it doesn't need to be anything more than that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well,
Vakil, just to clarify, you're really talking about more localized dance
yes.
circles rather than the region of North America or anything like that.
Well, at every level that's possible, except that I think people would tend to either want to post an international affiliation or a local one, and it seems to me that kind of the regional or North American is less likely to show up on somebody's Facebook page. It's a little more abstract in some way. I think at the local level, it's very effective. For example, you know, I live in a town of 8,000 people, and somebody created a Friends of Port Townsend Facebook page, and there's over 600 people signed up on it. They just want to say, hi, I'm part of this. And so that anybody who has done that, if you go to their information, you'll find that site, and that's an incredible advertisement.
And then all their friends get a notice that says, I became a friend of Port Townsend, Washington.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, Vakil, if I set up a local Durham dance meeting thing, could that be associated with North America and with international?
What do you mean by associated?
So that individual members in my community won't have to join the Durham dance meeting and the North America and the international, that all they would have to do is join the Durham one, and then the Durham one is associated with North America and with international.
Yeah, well,
misunderstanding.
I think, you know, probably you have to, each time you say add a friend, there's one for each of those groups if those groups have Facebook presence. So I'm saying if you create one, Friends of Durham, Dances of Universal Peace, then you can tell the people at the next dance meeting, all of you who are on Facebook, if you choose to, you can add this group as a friend, and then anybody visiting your information is going to find us. And that's how it circulates, you know. Maybe it'll go viral in Durham. Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, it's about 9 o'clock, and so I just wanted to just ask really quickly if anybody else has a burning comment or question or anything to share before we sign off. And hopefully you all have the information that I sent about how to access the recording, which I believe should be available pretty soon after the call, but I don't know the exact amount of time it takes to. I have to press *9 when we're finished. It'll stop the recording, and then pretty quickly it goes up there.
The only suggestion I would have at this point would be how valuable I think a reminder out on Dancing Peace would be, that the call took place, and for any who weren't able to make it, that the recording should be available and when the next one is, just
yes.
to keep it in people's consciousness.
I will, except it was kind of suggested not to make it open to everyone, but just to keep it amongst PeaceWorks North American region members. So that's why I'm relying on Yamuna Devi to, you know, I ask her and then she emails them.
Oh.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well, one thing I might suggest about that is post it on Dancing Peace saying the North American region
as a teaser.
Had a video conference, I mean a teleconference. We do have a recording of that for anyone who's interested in what was,
right.
And Pierre Shabda was our guest, you know, for anyone who's interested, not as a way of trying to take over Dancing Peace, but just as a way of letting people know.
Yeah, and I think if it's okay with everyone else on the board, that making the recording available is fine. I mean, I feel comfortable with that, making it available more widely.
Sounds good.
I think that's good.
And then if other people want to be involved in the next one, that maybe it would be an incentive to join if they're not members.
Mm-hmm. So you better add your email address, Donna, to this phone conversation so that it becomes...
Oh, good point. We've been talking about emailing me and haven't said what it is. Okay. The one that I use for the dances is dbpeacedances@gmail.com. So that's DB, which is the initials of my name, Donna Bain, dbpeacedances, D-A-N-C-E-S, @gmail.com. So are we done? Is that good?
Excellent.
It's good.
Thank you so much, everybody, for participating and for your great suggestions. And it feels very revitalizing to me to have this kind of a broader call like this with all of us connecting.
Thank you for having it.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Love,
thanks,
love.
Bye-bye.
Lots of
love.
Bye.
Bye.